Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org. WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
It's Curious City,
where we take your questions
about Chicago and the region
and investigate,
report,
explore
from WBEZ.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen. Do you remember the last time you moved? Even if it went smoothly, it was probably still stressful and overwhelming. But did you know that back in the 1800s, people in Chicago moved on the same day? Like, all at once, at the same time. Here's producer Justin Bull with that story.
The last time Edgewater resident Margie Lafreniere changed apartments, she moved from one third-floor walk-up to another. That required coordinating with 8 separate people about blocking the alley.
I hate moving. My favorite apartment, I lived in it for 11 years, and I never wanted to leave that apartment.
If you've moved, you can probably relate. But what if all your neighbors moved at the same time? We used to do that here in Chicago in an old tradition called Moving Day.
I had heard that maybe there were some folks who felt positively about it. And I was just like, that sounds actually really inconvenient.
For more than 100 years, Chicagoans moved en masse on May 1st, or the less popular, October 1st, and many moved every year. The late Chicago historian Perry Dewis estimated that at one point, a third of the population changed residences annually. He likened Moving Day to a game of musical chairs played with Chicago's housing supply. So Margie asked Curious City, why did we start doing this? Who stood to benefit? And why did we stop?
How Moving Day began really depends upon whom you asked.
This is Paul DeRica at the Chicago History Museum. He said the origins of Moving Day are unclear. It could be tied to seasonal change in the end of the school year, or old European traditions brought to America piecemeal over many decades. Whatever the origins of Moving Day, Chicago was not alone in observing. New York, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and cities and towns across the country all had Moving Days. So what was it like? DeRica's favorite account was from Moving Day 1865.
And the Tribune described it as the grand old crash and confusion. A scene where streets were thronged with wagons piled high with furniture, all in the process of being dented and damaged. Surrounding these wagons, one would find angry men, overwhelmed women, and crying children. It was a day where you might see the baby sticking its head in the stove, which was on a wagon, or the cat sticking its head in a creamer. And it was just a scene of pure chaos. But what's interesting, too, is that article writer talks about how there were certain people who seemed to kind of like revel in the chaos. They actually like enjoyed it, particularly those who didn't have families. They liked to step back and watch all these people being overwhelmed while they were in transit.
Chicagoans of all kinds participated in Moving Day, though unequally. For instance, DeRica says segregationist housing policies often limited the movement and housing options for Black residents. And the benefits of Moving Day varied too. For some tenants, it was a chance to find a cheaper place, or a cleaner one, without leaks, bugs, odors, or drainage issues. Meanwhile, wealthier tenants got a chance to hang their hat in a newer building with more amenities. So who benefited the most, landlords or tenants? Dorica says that depended on the larger economic conditions of a particular year. In 1865, for instance, the end of the Civil War put a lot of pressure on the housing supply in the city. So landlords had the upper hand and could jack up rents.
People had thought maybe they'd secured a new place to live, only to discover that the landlord was able to get more money for it and like reneged on the agreement that they had had.
On the other hand, a bunch of new housing was built ahead of moving day 1925. Supply exceeded demand. Years like that were good for tenants who had options, but not landlords who might not get a tenant.
Really, the only people that seemed to benefit from this kind of overarching chaos were the movers.
Movers had a captured market. They could charge whatever rates they wanted. And they didn't have to provide a high quality of service either.
Because what were people going to do? And in some cases, if people got frustrated with the moving company, the company just decided to dump their goods wherever they were, even if they hadn't reached their new home.
Moving day was decentralized and largely unregulated for everyone involved. But things started to change in the 20th century. Moving day was widely unpopular, so the city council set standard moving rates in 1910. Although those rates were largely unenforceable, according to historian Perry Dewis. Here's Dorica again.
And then in 1911, something significant happens, which is a landlord association decides that it's open to flexible leases. And that begins to relieve some of the pressure on May 1st.
Flexible leases, meaning those that can be more than a year long, or that don't only begin on May 1st. Still, old traditions die hard. A Chicago Defender article describes an effort to relieve the burden of moving day in 1928. Dorica said moving day wouldn't fully croak until the late 1940s. These days, Chicagoans move at all times of the year. But according to a local rep at U-Haul, people rent moving trucks most frequently on Memorial and Labor Day weekends. That's not quite May and October 1st, but it's close. So, just remember, next time you're hoisting your friend's sofa up the stairs of a three-flat...
Here we go! Pivot! Pivot!
Things could be exponentially worse.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
For Curious City, I'm Justin Bull.
Thank you to Justin Bull for reporting this week's story. If all this move and talk got you wondering how you can make your next move go more smoothly, or what you can do about a questionable landlord situation, then stick around for our next episode. I'll talk to a lawyer and a moving expert. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening.
Rise and Shy, WBEZ is serving local stories for breakfast every weekday morning from 5 to 11. Tune in on the WBEZ app to hear what Chicago's talking about as you start your day.